Hey there, fabulous teacher. Have you been wondering how to make writing time in your classroom more effective for your students? Do you want your students to love writing time? If so, I think it's time for you and I to start transforming your writing instruction. I'm Melissa Morrison, and I have a passion for helping teachers to feel confident in teaching writing and help them grow successful writers. I've worked with numerous teachers to guide them through this transformation, and in this podcast, I bring you the practical strategies you need to make writing the best time of your day. Let's get going.
Record.
Hey there, teacher, and welcome or welcome back. I'm so glad to have you here. And today will be a great day to listen because this episode is including Coley Conter and
Katie Wishow.
And I'm so excited to have them. We met through fate at a conference, and I didn't even know that they were people that I would be so excited to meet because they work with some of the most amazing people in literacy. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Katie Wishow. And for about 11 years, I taught upper elementary and middle school in Newark, New Jersey. And then I moved over to the Teachers College Reading and Writing Project, where I've spent another 10 years or so working with teachers in schools across the world, mostly upper elementary, middle, and even dabbling a little in high school, supporting reading and writing. And now I'm still doing that work with the Reading and Writing Project at Mossflower.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Coley.
And I'm Coley. Happy to be here. And I started my career as a high school teacher, and I eventually taught college composition courses and then found myself with Katie as a staff developer at the Teachers College Reading and Writing Project. And now I still work at Teachers College as a staff developer for advancing literacy. And it's been a really beautiful journey. I generally support grades 3 through 12. Primary feels a little bit scary to me sometimes. And so, yeah, right. Not my area of expertise as much, but it's been really great to work with schools across the country and sometimes across the world to support them in their literacy practices.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy that you guys were able to come on. And, you know, I'm also, that's another reason why I'm excited to have you guys, because I do have a little bit more experience with the, I have more experience with the lower elementary. So I taught first and second, but then I worked a lot in the past few years with kindergarten, where I learned a lot. For sure. And so I feel like I tend to use a lot of examples from lower elementary. So it's great to have you guys who are more adept in the upper grades. So that's good. It'll be good. All right. So I, you know, when I was thinking about what we could talk about today, I knew it could be everything. And so we talked about trying to choose a topic, and then we started talking and it got into all these things. But I thought, all right, I'll just be a little bit broader, and we'll see what happens. So my first question for you is, what is your favorite part of, I know you guys work with reading and writing, what is your favorite part about teaching writing and helping others to teach writing?
So I think my favorite part about teaching writing is just seeing students process. It feels like everybody works so differently in how they start and how they revise and when they decide to move on to a different piece. And I think just watching that decision making, kids so young being so decisive or being so clear about process, I think is so powerful. And I love to bring that to light for teachers so that we can study it and think more deeply about it.
Yes.
I love that too, Coley. I do. I also, and I think this fits in with that a little bit, but I also love the purposes that people have for writing, kids, but also adults. I have a kindergartner of my own at home. And so I am seeing the primary, and I'm so in awe of her kindergarten teacher. But watching as she learned to write and started to get more confident and brave with trying out new words. I mean, she mostly has used her newfound writing to write notes about what I've done wrong as a parent or how I could be better. But you know, that's a pretty authentic purpose.
Yes.
And then I see her writing, you know, her to-do lists, which again are mostly wish list of things she wants us to do, you know, go to the park, push me on the swings. But then I think about like students that I've worked with who, as they get older, you know, their purposes might be different or might be possibly more realistic, but, you know, whether they're thinking about like, oh, I'm writing this great story and it's going to make all my friends laugh and I'm going to pass it around. It's going to be really fun. Or I'm, you know, writing this graphic novel to like share this crazy, you know, superhero that I've invented. Or, you know, I'm really mad that they said we can't play this particular game at recess because it's dangerous, but it's so fun. So I'm going to write a note to the principal about it. And it's great when, you know, those kinds of real world purposes intersect with the units that we're teaching. But it's also kind of fun when you see the like writing around the edges of the classroom, like the little notes and the, you know, angry petitions and the signage. Like that's something that I think is so nice in primary that sometimes we don't have in the upper grades, is like the way there's a focus on environmental print and also like kids using words to shape their environment, like putting up signs like don't litter or be careful. And upper grade kids will sometimes do that too if they feel like they have the opportunity. So I'm really into purpose for writing, and I'm super intrigued whenever I see like those little shimmers of real world purpose with kids writing.
Yeah, well, and they need it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they just need to have that. And I think if they don't have a real purpose, then they're not as into it. And because they don't feel like there will be a reason for them, you know, to want to get better as a writer.
Yeah.
But when they do have that purpose and they're able to go for it, right, and actually write about it, it's so neat to see what they can do, you know, when they're so involved in it.
And I know like TikTok is fraught in so many ways. I think there's, you know, congressional hearings about it and whatever. But I am a kind of a fan in my personal life, of TikTok, but also there's so much like really cool kid created, you know, teenager created stuff on TikTok. There's, you know, the whole book talk phenomenon where like young adults and teenagers are posting and all these like videos about books that they're loving, or even books that they're not loving. And then also, you know, if you search a little bit, there's so many examples of like teenagers doing other kinds of writing on TikTok, whether it's, you know, like argumentative, basically like pointing out a problem or explaining something, or informational. I've seen some really cool like explainer videos made by kids, about stuff that's important to them. And when I think about like sometimes some genres like literary essay or essay in general, as they get older, like can feel like they're just a school genre and maybe in that exact format. But to me, TikTok is like, oh, this is like the real world literary essay right here on TikTok on my phone.
Right, right. Yeah. And that makes it more appealing to them for sure. Right.
I was thinking similarly, just that so much in, I feel like, middle school and high school, the writing that kids do actually isn't in school. Like they write more outside of school. And just how do we tap into that? And I was just thinking about the texting and the Snapchatting and the TikTok kind of videos as well. And that there's so much complex argumentation to that. Like when you put images and words together, and sometimes they're kind of congruent, and sometimes those things are opposite, and what music goes with it. Like those are all really like authorial choice in lots of ways. And I think it's fascinating to even just study, like have kids create memes and then study their choices. I think there's so much room for that in our curriculum.
And even thinking about like the kind of community, when we talk about developing a writing community in our classrooms, there's also these real world writing communities out in the world that kids are sometimes a part of without us realizing it. Even years ago, before, you know, TikTok and Snapchat were a thing, and most of my kids didn't have phones, probably, thank goodness. But I had this one kid who I taught her in fifth grade, sixth grade, and seventh grade, which was great. I love this class and this kid. And she really struggled with writing and not so much reading, but like she found writing physically laborious. You know, she found spelling really difficult. She apparently would really push back with her mom when it was homework time, you know, all that kind of typical stuff. And what really changed things for her was, unfortunately, nothing I did. It was that she got really deep into the My Little Pony fan fiction world, out, on the internet, which I don't necessarily recommend, in that some of the stuff that she showed me was like kind of horrific, actually. But she was spending like hours every day in her free time reading and writing like her own fanfics, writing responses to other people's fanfic. And it made like a massive difference in her school writing. There were, other things that helped her, but I do think that was the biggest thing. And it was her sense that she's like part of a writing community where people were eager for her words, waiting for her words, and she had an audience to put out her thoughts, her feelings about My Little Ponies. And it did end up translating in some really good ways into what she was doing for school, where she wasn't always writing about My Little Ponies, of course, but the skills did come over. And it just made me realize how important that writing community can be, and that valuing that out of school writing can be.
Yeah, I mean, so her, that community did so many things for her, because not only was she interested in the topic, right? And so she finally found something like, oh, I actually want to talk about this and read about it and write about it. But then she also had, like you said, someone waiting for her to respond, and she was a part of that. And so she just literally wrote more. And that's what's going to help you get better as a writer, just being able to write. So before, when she was so worried about, maybe she wasn't as engaged because she just didn't want to. And then it's like, oh, the spelling and this and that. But then the wanting to do it made her work through all of that. And then the more you write, the better you're going to get. So,
Totally.
any way that we can find for them to want to do it. I mean, that's where it's almost where you have to start with some of them. And like you said, you can't just rely on yourself, because you might not be able to be the one that makes it happen. So
Yeah.
I didn't even know there was a My Little Pony fan fiction world.
It's pretty intense.
I gotta check. I just gotta get out there more, I guess. I gotta get on TikTok. That's definitely not something that I am on. So, but it might be going away anyway, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
So we kind of already were talking about obstacle, as far as, not finding some things that teachers are asking you to do in school. It's not really out in the world, that it's difficult for some students to even write to begin with. And that's huge and primary too. I mean, they have so many things to think about when they're just learning their letters and words to try to write. But what do you believe is an obstacle for upper elementary students with writing, and how the teachers can help them? So you can talk more about what we already talked about, or just something else that comes to mind.
I'll pivot us a little bit, and just to say that I've been playing around with this strategy with teachers and kids a lot, and I feel like it's been working well. And the whole idea is that, like, sometimes it's just really hard for kids and any writer to get started. And so one of the things that Matt De La Pena shared when he came to talk at Teachers College once was, he said that he does this activity called Two Words, and he says to kids, any writer, when you look back at your life, what do you see? What are the two words? And it's supposed to be kind of descriptive. So he describes it as like his two words, or someone's two words, were wrecked cars. And then from there, you get kids, can you just write two words? And then to be like, okay, well, there's a story there. Tell me the story. And so I've been doing this with some students and teachers that are reluctant to write. And it's amazing what's come out of it. And I love the idea that it's so simple. And I just love Matt De La Pena. So anything that he puts out into the world, I want to use. And, it was really interesting. Most recently, one girl said toe socks, that she wears toe socks every single day. So it's like, well, where did that come from? And tell the story. And then another kid said second place. And it's like, ooh, that's really, really deep. Like, why do you feel that? And maybe second place is a good thing. Maybe second place is not such a good thing. I took it, I'm like, my heart hurts. But he's like, no, I always almost win. So it was, it was just really fascinating and beautiful. And I think it's a really simple way to overcome one of those little issues of like the page is blank, or I'm scared to start.
Oh yeah. And so I can imagine you can use that in any for anything that they're writing, right? Just, can you think of two words for this, whatever it is? Wow, I love that. I think a lot of students and teachers could benefit from that. I think that's one of the things I hear a lot, where they don't know what to write, or they don't get started. And I am always afraid of giving them too much. Like, hey, how about write about this? I'd rather give ways to come up with something, but I like that a lot. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I love that, Coley. I haven't heard that one. I agree, Melissa. I feel like it's so tricky because sometimes you know the kid and you're like, oh my gosh, you play soccer like 5 days a week. Write about soccer. And it would be so easy. And you know that would be like a great topic for the kid, or you think that would be a great topic. But I agree with you. I feel the same way. Like I'm always looking for to cross over that fine line of like, I'm giving you a strategy you could use again. So if it's two words, or even if it's, you can think about activities that you do and the kid gets to soccer. But like sometimes it's a fine line, right? The line between write about an activity as one way to get an idea versus just write about soccer, kid. Another book I love, I actually have it sitting here by my desk because I refer to it a lot, is this How to Tell a Story. The book is called How to Tell a Story, and it's by the Moth, the storytelling like story slam organization. So by a bunch of authors, it's a Moth publication. And I picked it up more for myself, thinking like, oh, I always like a good like writing guide. And I ended up finding so many things that I've shared with teachers to help kids get started in upper grades. And again, it's walking that line of like, this is a strategy you could use over and over, not just this one piece of writing, but gives a little bit more support than sometimes, the hanging back that we might be tempted to do. Like they have a whole bunch of, possible like categories of prompts that you could use to brainstorm. Like they have an example of, think about a time when you felt an emotion really strongly, did something you never thought you'd do, changed your relationship with someone, had a secret revealed by you or someone else. Feels like there's stuff there that is right on that line where it's supportive for kids, but it doesn't feel like you're saying, okay, Coley, now it's time for you to write about, that one story you told me that one time.
I am always going back and forth about that, I don't want to just rely on, well, okay, let's just, how about do that? And then just doesn't always work. They don't feel it. I was just thinking about that the other day, like how I sometimes like when I write a blog post, it's always about the podcast episode. That's how I decide what to do. But then sometimes I'm like, but I don't really want to. And like I just talked about it in the podcast, and now I have to rework it to write it in the form that I want to in the blog, and I don't want to. And so when you think about, teachers, you're doing a certain unit, and it's typically going to be genre based, not always, but right, but it's going to be genre based. So you're trying to help your student to get better in writing in that genre, but sometimes they're just not there. And it like, what do you think about the option of just trying to get something down on the paper, or whatever it might be that day, knowing that you're still saying like, hey, we want to, this is what we're doing, right? We want to practice this and get into it, and still provide strategies. But what do you think about that when a student is just really not feeling it or having difficulty in the genre? What kind of advice might you give to teachers about that?
I think it's such a great point, Melissa, that just like we sometimes want to box kids into a genre and they're not having it. And it kind of reminds me of like when we're in a fiction unit and kids are like, but I just want to read about spiders. And you're like, okay, that's fine, right? Like take a few spider books and then maybe you can coach that kid to Charlotte's Web and kind of get them into the fiction. But like maybe we start at the thing that they're passionate about. And so to me, if a kid really wants to tell a story and we're in this argumentative writing unit or literary essay, I say go for it and get it down on the page, and then maybe I'm going to help them find connections to that genre. If they're, writing about a story with soccer, I'm going to be like, oh, that's so interesting. Like here, like, well, if you really want to write about soccer, let's talk about how people are paid in soccer and is it fair, right? I'm thinking maybe for like a middle schooler, is this ethical? And maybe there's an inroad depending. I think like, it is flexible, and all the genres overlap so much too.
Yeah, I love that idea of like I did have a student who was once just like obsessed with animals. I know a lot of kids are, but she was very much like, this is all I'm gonna do. And so when she was writing fiction, it was an animal character. When she wrote informational pieces, you know, she was off to the races with like, I think she published multiple pieces. It was like, she's like, I'm gonna write the 100 grossest animals. I was like, okay. We might not have time for 100, but you know, we'll see. 50 cutest animal, like so many animal pieces. And then argument, she also found like lots of ways to, you know, there's lots of argument surrounding animals. And obviously some topics are easier than others to do that, like shifting, but it's actually a really interesting exercise too, if you think about when you have kids that have topics they're passionate about, but not they don't think that they like the genre, like taking, saying like, just for fun, let's take soccer. Let's brainstorm together as a class or as a group or one-on-one. Like, how would we write a soccer story? How would we write a soccer information piece? How could we write a soccer poem or a soccer argument or whatever? And maybe that inspires the kid to join the class in their genre pursuit. Maybe it doesn't, but at least is like, setting kids up to know that when they're the kind of person that has like a big abiding passion in their life, that writing it can be a part of that. And it you don't have to stop and change just because you're tackling a new kind of writing. And I think mentor texts help a lot with that too. Like, you know, there's lots of sports poems. Like that's a whole little mini genre of itself that you could bring in and be like, oh, you like soccer and we're doing a poetry unit? Here's some sports poems. Maybe you could try to write some soccer poems. Obviously, there's lots of sports stories, there's lots of sports argument information. So I think sometimes finding the right mentor text helps a kid to see that, like, yes, indeed, this is a thing out in the world. And for the kids who don't have like a topic passion, sometimes I think mentor text can be another way into the genre. Like, I've had a few kids over the years who I don't know that they had any big passion like soccer or animals or something that they loved, but they had some like defining personality traits, I guess. Like they were silly or goofy, or you know, we've all had the like kid obsessed with Diary of a Wimpy Kid or Dog Man or whatever. I remember one kid who was totally obsessed with Wimpy Kid. He wasn't necessarily into a particular topic, but he just read Wimpy Kid like literally every day. And he ended up writing almost all of his pieces that year with some element of the Wimpy Kid style in it, whether it was actually graphics or just like that sort of, I don't know, slapsticky humor. He even wrote a piece for social studies about like Buddhism in ancient times in the style of Wimpy Kid, which is kind of awesome. Right. And so then, like, that was his way in, was the sort of style, not the topic. And so I think that can also be like, hey, did you know that you could write information pieces with a funny tone? Did you know you could write argument with a funny tone if that's like who you are as a writer?
And all of that is making me think about too, not only when they just don't know what to write or they want to write in the same topic. And all of that was just so, I think that's really helpful for teachers to think about because it tends to be a worry, you know, they're only writing about this. But also when the lower grade levels are having trouble with the genre and, you know, you do one unit and then they just kind of write in that in the next unit and to be able to show them how you can take that one topic and write about it in different ways and show them this is this genre, this is this genre, I think that can also be really helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to plug a little bit just like verbal work because I do think like if we were to say, I'm going back to the moth storytelling a little bit, that maybe a kid is having a hard time writing down the page, but could they put bullet points of what their story is and how it goes and then speak it out and do some oral storytelling work? Or if I'm really passionate about sports, could I do an information news broadcast or create a podcast with a little bit of a script and then read it? And I think in a lot of ways, it's I don't really write narratives about my life every day. That's just not what I do, even though I love to write. But I tell stories about my life every single day. And so it feels like it's a really valuable skill. And sometimes when kids are kind of reluctant to get down the page, I think it can be a really beautiful way and sometimes just as powerful in terms of the skills that kids are learning. And so I'm thinking about just mixing up kind of genre in that way and making it more oral.
That's a great point.
I was thinking about that too when you were saying, you know, they're on TikTok or wherever they are and they're doing all these debates or they're talking about this and they probably haven't written it down first. Maybe a few of them did give themselves some notes, but it's like you have it, right? You have all these ideas that you're saying, just like Coley saying, you're telling people things all the time. And, you know, you don't write the way you talk, where that's, you know, actually not going to end up exactly how you say it. But to let them know, like, you have all this in there, you're saying it. We just have to be able to get it on the paper. And things like just some bullet points or, you know, for the younger grades, like the pictures first and all of that. Like, but it's still such a big part of knowing how to be a writer.
Yeah.
So